Good morning. It's time for Daily Chapel at the LCMS International Center in St. Louis. The text is Luke chapter 16, verses 1 through 13. The Reverend Roy Askins is preaching. The broadcast of chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces.
A reading from Luke chapter 16. Jesus also said to the disciples, "There was a rich man who had a manager, and charges were brought to him that this man was wasting his possessions. And he called him and said to him, 'What is this that I hear about you? Turn in the account of your management, for you can no longer be manager.' And the manager said to himself, 'What shall I do, since my master is taking away the management from me? I'm not strong enough to dig, and I am ashamed to beg. I have decided what to do, so that when I am removed from management, people may receive me into their houses.' So, summoning his master's debtors one by one, he said to the first, 'How much do you owe my master?' He said to him, 100 measures of oil. He said to him, 'Take your bill and sit down quickly and write 50. Then he said to another, 'And how much do you owe?' He said, 100 measures of wheat. He said to him, 'Take your bill and write 80. The master commended the dishonest manager for his shrewdness, for the sons of this world are more shrewd in dealing with their own generation than the sons of light. And I tell you, make friends for yourselves by means of unrighteous wealth, so that when it fails, they may receive you into eternal dwellings. One who is faithful in a very little is also faithful in much, and one who is dishonest in a very little is also dishonest in much. If then you have not been faithful in the unrighteous wealth, who will entrust to you the true riches? And if you have not been faithful in that which is another's, who will give you that which is your own? No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. O Lord, have mercy upon us."
Thanks be to God.
In many and various ways, God spoke to his people of old by the prophets. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The parable of the dishonest manager is honestly a bit absurd. In fact, it's a conclusion to a long list of absurd teachings from Jesus. They just don't make any sense. This list of teachings actually begins all the way back in Luke chapter 14 as Jesus does an absurd thing. He sits down and he eats with tax collectors and sinners. The Pharisees, of course, grumble about this, but he doesn't do just the absurd thing of sitting with them and eating with them. He also teaches them some absurd things. "Which of you, having lost a coin, will not spend more than that coin is worth celebrating the fact that you found it? Who would do that? Which of you, if you lost a sheep, would leave the 99 in the open field to go find the one? Do you know anyone that would do this?" I frankly have a hard time imagining anybody leaving 99 sheep to be ravaged by wolves merely for the sake of one little lost lamb. Or what about that prodigal son who demanded his inheritance, effectively asking dad to go and die, and then waste that inheritance in a foreign land? Which of you would welcome him back with open arms and celebrate his return with a feast? It's not really in our nature, now is it? So also with a dishonest manager, the story is simply absurd. The rich man calls in his manager and he says, "I have some charges brought against you that you've been wasting my possessions." The manager doesn't even dispute this. He simply says, "What am I going to do? What am I going to do?" And then he further defrauds the rich man. He had originally been wasting the possessions, and he does it yet again, and the rich man commends him for his shrewdness. "Which of you would do this? Who of you, having a manager, an accountant that wasted your possessions, would praise him for being shrewd?" God's demands on us, it seems, are no less absurd. No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Now, perhaps you think you do not serve God and money, but how will you know? How do you know if you're attempting to serve that which, or how do you know you're not fearing, loving, and trusting in something other than God? Well, here is where the parable of the dishonest manager has something to teach us. This dishonest manager takes the amount owed to his master, from the rich man's debtors, and reduces this amount that they owe. Why does he do this? He does this so that when he gets kicked out of the master's employ, they will welcome him into eternal dwellings. This is how we are to think about the things that we have been given. You are called to do likewise, to use our Lord's possessions, which you manage, for the sake of making eternal friends. That is to say, those who will welcome you into the tents of heaven. Heavenly friends, Christians, have you done this? Have you given recklessly for the sake of the kingdom of God? Has the word of God had its way with you so that you now willingly give more than is expected of you? You look for opportunities to give, not simply your money, but also your time and your skills and your resources and everything that you have. Do you fear, love, and trust in God so greatly to provide for you that you can give everything that you have? Or do you worry and fear that if you give too much, you may not have enough for retirement or whatever else you're saving up for? Oh, but I serve the church, we say here. Maybe that counts for something. Unworthy servants, says our Lord, you have merely done what was required of you. Hearing it this way makes us wonder if Jesus really means what he says. Everything for the sake of making eternal friends? Everything? The Pharisees, those lovers of money, also ridiculed Jesus for this absurd teaching. But Jesus knew their hearts. Jesus says just after this passage, when they ridicule him, "You are those who justify yourselves before men, but God knows your hearts. For what is exalted among men is an abomination in the sight of God." Dear people of God, do not justify yourselves before men or before God. Cling instead to the absurdity of the gospel. For Jesus does indeed do and teach some absurd things. Now, these things are only absurd simply because we are approaching these things with the mind of man rather than the mind of God. We would not celebrate a lost coin because we prefer to keep as much of our wealth as possible. We cannot see the value of the one lost sinner. Same for the sheep and the lost son. We wouldn't risk it. We've got too much invested in the 99 sheep. We've already lost too much to that prodigal son. Why would I waste another penny on him? Same thing with the dishonest manager. We would simply throw his sorry backside in prison. But Jesus doesn't do that. He does absurd things. He welcomes sinners, and he eats with them. He teaches them. He proclaims to them the gospel. He comes for them. He comes for you and for me. He comes for us, regardless of how well we've hidden, how far we've wandered, or how much we've wasted. He takes a look at our accounts and measures them and counts them out. But instead of merely canceling out a portion of the debt, he forgives it all. He's in fact a terrible account manager. There's nothing left for us to pay. There's nothing left for us to make up. He spent the wealth and capital of heaven that he might make not merely friends of heaven, but brothers and sisters, those who will dwell with him forever as fellow heirs of the kingdom of heaven. He alone is the faithful one, faithful in little, faithful in much. He is the one who has freed us from the enslavement of our possessions and bound us to himself instead. Indeed, dear Christians, you cannot serve two masters, for your Lord and Savior. You belong to your Lord and Savior. You cannot serve your wealth because you belong to another who redeemed you and made you his child. And now as that child, bound to him, his sight becomes yours. As Jesus told the Pharisees, what is exalted among men is an abomination in the sight of God. And so now your new man, with the eyes of God, sees the accumulation of wealth for personal pleasure as the abomination that it is. You indeed seek to use everything you have for the sole purpose of making eternal friends, friends who will dwell with us in heavenly tents. For in the end, that unrighteous mammon, that unrighteous wealth, will fail us. We're learning that in these days, aren't we? Our COVID-19 life here, sitting on the cusp of fear and uncertainty, of financial fears for the work of the church. But in the end, this is good for us. This wealth, what we perceived as exalted and wonderful, will fail us. And even as it does, the gospel will go forth. God's name will continue to be proclaimed, His sacraments administered. So come, let's be absurd with our Savior. Let's do insane things. Let's preach heavenly words. Let's wash with water and the Word. Let's eat body and blood. Let us expend God's gifts for the heavenly kingdom. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Thank you for joining us for chapel. Today we pray for Chaplain Jacob Scott, who is deployed. The broadcast of chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces. To learn more about LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces, visit kfuo.org/chapel.